Hi, and welcome to episode 230 of the Dinner Sisters podcast. We're two sisters taking on the nightly challenge of dinner. I'm Kate Schultz, living and working right outside Atlanta, Georgia. I'm a passionate cook and recipe collector, always thinking about my next meal.
And I'm Betsy Wallace. I live, work, and raise a family here in Atlanta, right next to you, Kate. Mm-hmm. Now we're neighbors. And I love dinner time. It can always help. Can always use help planning and cooking for my family of five, especially now it's the summer. School's out. All five are here a lot.
They sure are. They sure do enjoy that. Yeah. Our goal of this podcast, we want to cook a little better, learn a little bit about food, and most importantly, figure out what the heck to have for dinner. Here's how this works. It's a dinner party. So we have recipes that we put together that we think you'll really love that I found from all over the place. Food blogs, Betsy's suggestions this time, internet chefs, anywhere on the World Wide Web. We'll have all the recipes, tips, the smorgasbord, which in this case is our top recipe list, and a shopping list on our website at dinnersisters.com.
Kate, before we start, our first The Great Food Truck Race episode was on last night, premiered.
Right? Amazing.
We are going to do, we previewed this in other episodes, but we're going to do a special recap episode of The Great Food Truck Race. So look for that to drop later this week. This is our normal episode where we just cook and try, you know, three new recipes. So if you're like looking for all the juicy inside scoop on the food truck race, you'll need to tune in later for that.
Tune in
this
later.
This one's going to be juicy inside scoop on what's for dinner.
Right.
Like
it's that kind of hot gossip.
We usually do.
Hot off the grill.
Hot gossip off the grill. All right. I love it. Way to tee it up. Mm. So this week's recipes were a grilled pork tenderloin with beer and mustard glaze from Hay Grill Hay, Charlestown red rice from the New York Times Cooking, and quick and easy rice vinegar cucumber pickles from Pickled Plum. And, okay, because it's a dinner party, we've got a dessert this week, and it's the Atlantic Beach Pie from Food 52, and that's a recipe I've been wanting to make for years. So I cannot wait to dive in.
Yes. Happy dinner party episode, everybody. I feel like we haven't done one of these in a while, and it's great to be back. And so remember, if you haven't, it's been a minute, a dinner party, we make a whole menu of food to like serve at a party. So all these things you could serve at once, we think they really would go together. Sometimes we do like project food. And in this case, I think it's just like fun recipes. You know?
Yeah.
And sometimes we have a dessert that we can't fit in anywhere else, if we're honest. So this dinner party is made of things that we think would work for a really great summer barbecue. And Betsy, to celebrate your new grill.
Yeah, I do have a grill. Longtime listeners will know that I have not had a grill for the entire duration of the Dinner Sisters podcast so far.
Yeah.
And we added a deck on the back of the house and we were like, hemming and hawing about getting a grill and like what grill should we get and this whole thing. And then our neighbors put a little propane Weber grill out and they're up, like they're getting a new grill. And this one needed like a little tightening and a little cleaning and some like a kind of sprucing up and TLC. And we had the kids scrub it up and Ryan tightened all the connections and it works perfectly.
Mm.
So we just inherited this grill.
Not only a grill, but amazing. A free grill.
A free grill.
That it went,
like
great
down the street. You know, those are the best kind.
They are the best kind. Okay, so I think, which is perfect, speaking of teeing up and segues, our first recipe is a grilled pork tenderloin with beer and mustard glaze from Hay Grill Hay. We love Hay Grill Hay around here. We did an interview with her, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes in case you're curious. I have not actually grilled a pork tenderloin before.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Why haven't I done that? They go so quickly. It's a grill temperature. It's usually like 400, 425. And the glaze for this is first a marinade, which actually motivated me to marinate meat, which we all know is a tricky thing to do. So to make this recipe, it's a beer and mustard marinade, right? And so it's very savory, a little tangy. Basically, what you do is you take 2 1.5-pound pork tenderloins, which is kind of where how they're packaged, you know. And the marinade is whole grain mustard, apple cider vinegar, honey, garlic, shallots, brown sugar, and beer. And what you do is you marinate the pork for at least an hour, up to 8 hours. And then you preheat your grill to 400 degrees, put the tenderloin on that after you kind of shake off the excess pieces of stuff, and you grill it for 2 to 3 minutes per side, rotating until the internal temperature of the tenderloin reads 145 degrees. And then you let it rest. And I was like, oh, why am I not grilling tenderloins all the time? While the tenderloin's resting, this case, it's a dinner party recipe, right? So you've got a little extra pizzazz, which is you take the marinade that you've reserved and you add it to some butter and flour that you've combined to make a roux, put that marinade in there, and then you get this nice, delicious glaze. Make sure you're bringing that sauce up to a boil because you have had it in raw meat. Bring it up to a boil and make sure everything's safe. And then once you're done with the tenderloin, it's been resting, you slice it against the grain and top with the glaze for serving. Betsy, how did you like this?
First of all, loved a pork tenderloin on the grill.
Yeah.
That was so flavorful. And I just, we are converts, and she has a couple of pork tenderloin on the grill recipes on there. And also just as a new method, we loved it.
Yeah.
Kate, flavor-wise, so no complaints, because I think there was, this is exactly how it should have tasted. Mm. But I'm realizing it had kind of a divisive flavor in my family.
Oh.
I kind of thought this gave me kind of sauerbraten flavors. Did you?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. If you are familiar with the German cuisine and the sauerbraten, which if you are from the Midwest or from Germany, you might know or have some German heritage. But it is that kind of like tangy. Mm-hmm.
It's a little sweet.
Almost a little sweet, a little sour.
Yeah.
And so Ryan does not like that. And I tasted it and thought, oh, this is giving me real sauerbraten vibes, which I love because we don't have very often. And he was like, oh, no. And it was either like the kids loved it or they did not like it. And it was just very – and you know what's funny is we are German heritage.
Yeah.
Strong German on both sides. And Ryan also is pretty German, like a lot of Wisconsinites are. And he does not really love the German cuisine. doesn't really like sauerkraut.
Weird.
Does not really like a beer and mustard glaze. So anyways, I thoroughly enjoyed this. But just as a heads up, those flavors come through strong.
Yeah, I like those flavors so much. I didn't even think about that. I was just like, ooh, this is tangy. Oh, yeah. So yeah, it definitely has a tang. I think it's the vinegar. The mustard is usually a little tangier. I really enjoyed that part of it. I liked the idea of like thickening the glaze of the roux. I thought that was really clever. A lot of little bits in here that I was like, oh, well, of course you can do a pork tenderloin in the grill. And I don't know, listeners, maybe y'all have been doing pork tenderloins on the grill for ages. And it's just new to, I mean, we're coming to this late. But if you haven't done it, I'd highly recommend it. Especially, it's like pork tenderloins too, just like you can do them in the oven. It's a really quick meal, right? And then you're...
Yeah, and mine was not dry. Mm-mm. I was worried about it drying out, and it did not.
No, not at all. Not at all. This is a 5 out of 5 recipe. I like the tanginess. How about you, Betsy?
I mean, it's a 5 out of 5 recipe. I think it's just a matter of personal taste, right? So note that it has distinct flavors.
Yes.
And...
Yeah, this is going to be... If you like it, you'll like it. All right, what's up next?
Okay, next we've got a Charleston red rice from New York Times Cooking. Kate?
This is a beautiful dish. I'll just say that. It is a 9x13 pan of this deep, deep red rice that also has bacon in it and the holy trinity of green pepper, onions, and celery. It's, in my mind, it was a delicious side for a grill. And it was in the New York Times as a Juneteenth recipe, which was just made a federal holiday, celebration of the ending of slavery. It's huge, wonderful history behind that. If you haven't read up on Juneteenth, you really should. It is, this in particular is a recipe made by the Gullah Geechee people in North Carolina Low Country, which were formerly enslaved folks that settled on an island and have this beautiful, wonderful cuisine. This dish is one of them. To make it, the first thing you do is you fry your bacon up until crisp, about 3 minutes per side. drain it, crumble it. And then in the same skillet, you're going to add chopped onion, celery, green bell pepper, and some salt. Saute that until everything's, you know, delicious. Onion's gone translucent. And then you add some garlic. And then you add to the skillet a couple cups of rinsed rice. They suggest long grain or Carolina Gold. I couldn't find Carolina Gold in the store, which was upsetting. Only I'd be upset about rice, but I use long grain. It was fine. And you just kind of toast the rice for a little bit, kind of like you're making a risotto or maybe a pilaf. You add back in your crumbled bacon, some tomato puree, stock, hot sauce, Cajun seasoning, sugar, pepper, and cayenne. Lots of flavors towards the end. You bring that all to a boil, and then you simmer it for about 5 minutes, and then you put it into a greased baking dish, cover it really tight with foil, and then bake for 45-ish minutes or so. You check it after 30 minutes to see if it's done and add any liquid if you need to. And you just fluff before serving and garnish with some parsley if you're feeling fancy.
This is fantastic. Yeah. I loved this. And it makes a big 9x13. It's a hearty side, right? Like, and if you put this in and you're grilling, that makes a really fantastic dinner party or kind of celebration meal. And you're kind of outside in the grill. You don't have to worry about your side. You're not actively making it, right? Like, there's not a lot of, once you get it in there, you've got a good amount of time to go do something else, which I love when you're putting a whole menu together. And I thought the flavors were, I mean, we ate this up. Leftovers were fantastic.
Yeah.
Nothing to say but good things about this recipe. Loved it.
Yeah, I am not a huge green pepper fan. So I just wanted to address that because I know some people don't like green peppers too. I'm not a huge fan of them. I feel like they make everything taste grassy. However, what was I thinking? Didn't do that at all. I thought it was delicious. We actually made this together, Betsy, because you had come back from vacation. We were doing some things and we didn't add a lot of the hot spices to this, which I think was still delicious. I would love to make this for more adult tastes too, because I think that would be even more delicious. But, you know, just use the spice to your taste, depending upon who the audience is. And yeah, I totally agree with you, Betsy. This is like a great grilling side because you can just start it, do the whole thing, which takes a little bit of time, but not too, too bad. And then it just bakes, which is great. And we do have, just so you know, all folks know, we do have a couple links to other recipes that are similar. We didn't use them, but it's similar to the New York Times in case you don't have one of those, their subscriptions. But this is a 5 out of 5 for me. Loved it.
Yeah, 5 out of 5 for me too. This was great. Love this one. Okay, our last recipe, Kate, here is a quick rice vinegar cucumber pickles from Pickle Plum.
Yes. Well, our last savory recipe, right? Because we do have dessert.
Oh, right.
I know. It's weird. When we have four recipes, it's like, how do we even do this? So this is barely a recipe, but I love quick pickles with like a roast pork or roast meat. And this I thought was great. I just found a recipe. I wasn't even going to put it in the podcast, but then I was like, this is actually a delicious side. And just as a reminder, you can always make quick pickles for like anything. So this ratio is an English cucumber, or she says 2 Japanese cucumbers, which I've never found in my life. Maybe you've got a good Japanese grocery store. If so, do it. I use Persian cucumbers, which are the small ones that sometimes come in bags. Anyway, just cut them up into slices and then you marinate them in a Ziploc container with a 1/4 cup water, 1/4 cup of vinegar, 2 teaspoons of salt, and 2 tablespoons of sugar.
Yeah,
there you go.
So easy.
It's so easy. It's super delicious. I love it as like a nice, like kind of crunchy side to a grilled anything. Mm-hmm. And you can just have that in the fridge and it just takes 2 seconds to do. And it's so nice. Can't say anything bad about a pickle.
I like it because it gives you a little fresh veg. And sometimes I'm like not into a leafy green salad, I'm going to be honest. And so, a lot of salads this time of year and you want freshness, but this kind of hit the spot with me. And that pork is kind of rich. So this was it's just a nice side with it.
Yeah.
I liked it, Kate.
Yeah. Thanks. Good pick. Thanks. Quick one. Yeah. But for the last one, Betsy, what do we have?
This, if anyone else follows Food 52 on Instagram, every time, every June, they start posting Bill Smith's Atlantic Beach Pie. Yes. And like telling people to make it. And I'm always like, oh, I should make that pie. And then I never do. And this year, I told Kate we should put it on the podcast, so I have to make it. Mm. And we had a dinner party episode, which is perfect. And it kind of goes with our, you know, a little bit of our kind of theme here, which is great.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, tell us about this. So this is really, when I looked up this recipe, I also saw that it's been Katie Workman from the Mom 100 wrote a recipe and then was on NPR about this and a whole bunch of different things too. So there's a couple floating out there, and this is the one we used, but they're all really the same.
Yeah, it's this Atlantic Beach Pie, which is like a lemon pie, apparently also from North Carolina. So maybe that's like our secondary theme. This episode is North Carolina. It's like a sweet and salty pie. So it is a filling that's kind of a lemon curd made with condensed milk, if you can kind of picture that. And then its crust is saltines. So if you like sweet and salty, this is the thing. Yep. To make the pie, it's your basic kind of like press-in crust. So you're going to crush all those saltines, but not like completely. You're going to want a little bit of a crumb. And then what you do is you just add in some sugar, butter, and you kind of make almost like a saltine dough, for lack of a better word. Press it into a pie crust and then, or pie pan. Press it into a pie pan and chill it in the fridge for about 15 minutes or so. Bake it for a little under 20 minutes or until the crust is nice and brown. And when the crust is cooling, you're going to beat some egg yolks into condensed milk and then some citrus juice. And they suggest lemons and limes. I use a little of both. I think you can do whatever you like. And you need to make sure everything's really completely combined. They say that in the instructions, and that's probably true. You don't want, like, you know, egg yolks to curdle or any of those sorts of things. Put that into the shell, and then you bake it for about another 15 minutes until the filling is set. And it does need to cool completely cold in order to slice it well, but you serve it with whipped cream and a sprinkling of sea salt. So it really has got that sweet salty going on.
Kate, I thought that this was super easy to make and was delicious. It did not disappoint. I was not like, ah, man,
can you imagine? I've been
making it for years. Can't, like, this is terrible. Which I didn't think it would be because it's such a famously amazing pie. And so I was just looking forward to it. A few things I will note. I crushed up my saltines. I tried to just crush them in the saltine bag.
Yeah.
And that kind of like yielded kind of not great results. And so I tried to crush them with my hands in the bowl. And because she was like, don't throw them in your food processor. Just like use your hands. But I think that some of my saltines were still a little chunky for when I was eating the pie. I thought, man, I wish I kind of would have gone after this with a hammer or something a little bit more.
Like a rolling pin. Yeah.
Yeah, like jinx. I wish I would have done a little bit more effort into the saltines. No one was complaining, obviously.
Right.
But you get some like real chunky saltines, and that was not amazing, but it was fine. I used half lemon, half lime because it's kind of what I had. It's delicious. Also, it's bright, bright yellow, which is so fun.
Yeah.
Like, it was just really bright yellow. I did tell you when we were talking about this, because I made this pie first and then you made it second, that it's so flexible, right? It's just that saltine crust, which is like a graham cracker crust. Same thing.
Yeah.
And then this filling, I said, you know, maybe you could try to have this or make it into a tartlet or something. Because even my girls who love pie, my kids were like, Mom, I'm really full after this pie. Because it's like, you know, saltines and butter and sweetened condensed milk.
So and a lot like of egg yolks.
A thin slice of this and a lot of egg yolks. A slice of this really does fill you up. So it's a pie for a gathering, right?
Yeah, I took your advice. I have a, I collect Fire King. And so I have a Fire King pie dish that is very shallow. Like, it's barely could hold a pie. And so I made this kind of like almost as a halving kind of experiment. So it ended up being like the filling was a lot thinner. The crust was a lot thinner. It almost, like you said, turned into a tart. And that was delicious too. So if like that's more your jam, I can definitely recommend it. We'll post what I did. I mean, I just halved everything. The only thing that was kind of crazy was the condensed milk, which I ended up weighing because I was like, I don't know how else to do this. to have, you know, like poured into a thing or whatever, which wasn't bad.
I wonder, Kate, if you had little, like, I don't know, are there little, like, tartlet dishes or something? Like, I wonder if you could make individual ones. You could definitely do that, right?
Oh, you totally could. Yeah, they make very tiny tart pans, they make very small tart pans, like individual ones. You could do that, too. I mean, I think you could, the world's your oyster, kids, whatever you wanted to do with this. Mm-hmm.
This feels very bomb-proof if you're going to experiment with different shapes and sizes here, because it's just all saltines in this filling and...
Yeah, I think the only thing I'll say is I did not bake mine the full, not even 15 minutes. I think, I'd have to check my notes, but I think I went to like maybe 10. Because you don't also want to overcook it. Because that's also not great, right? I don't know what it would, it would probably get a little, the texture would get a little nasty. Like, so
maybe if you're a 2.01 baker, go 2.0, to
2.0. Okay. Yeah. Okay. But still totally possible. Totally possible. All right, wrapping up. Favorite recipes. I have to say my favorite recipe was the red rice. It was like a classic that I didn't know existed, which is on me. Mm-hmm. So good. So super happy to have found it. That was a winner.
Kate, my recipe was the pie because I am going to 100% make that pie again. Mm-hmm. Hopefully once this summer. But this whole dinner party was fantastic. I'm going to put pork loins on the grill from now on.
Yeah.
Just a lot of good takeaways. And that side dish of rice, that's a great potluck recipe. Just a lot of good discoveries this week.
Yeah. If any of these recipes sound good to you, make sure to check out our show notes and grocery list at dinnersisters.com. We'll have linked to all the recipes, any tips or techniques we talked about, including having that pie. And if you'd like to talk more with us, you can always ask to join our Dinner Sisters Facebook group. We're at Dinner Sisters Podcast. You can find us there and we'd love to see you.
Okay, Kate. We, like we do on all of our dinner party episodes, we're going to go over some of our favorites from the past 10 episodes. So, to kick us off, I'm doing the family favorite, and that was the tandoori salmon from episode 224, because we love salmon, and that tandoori salmon was just delicious. It had, like, that kind of thick coating of spices on top, and it made it just, like, a little bit different, gave us a refresh on the salmon, like the baked salmon situation in our house, and everyone just ate it up. We were very happy about that.
Yeah, I mean, I have a couple friends that have already tried it and loved it. So I think that was a good family favorite. Friends with kids. So definitely if you, and I know they've like upped and lowered the like spice level on that. So it's that one was a really good one. Let's see. My ones, I'm going to kick us off with the sleeper hits, ones that we were kind of surprised by. And for me, that's the stir fried beef with black bean sauce and kale from episode 226. It was an ingredient that I hadn't tried before, classic Chinese stir-fry ingredient that I just hadn't had. And that umami, savory flavor of it, oh my word, so good. I don't stir-fry beef very often, also delicious. And I liked it was kind of one of those, you know, third culture pieces where we're in the U.S., Chinese folks don't necessarily stir-fry kale all that much, but here's a recipe that we can do here. Loved it. How about you, Betsy?
I'm for my sleeper hit, I'm going to do a sleeper hit ingredient for us because I used it twice in these past 10 episodes for the To Asia with Love cooking and then also the stir fried beef with kale. And it's the black bean sauce.
Oh, nice.
Because I used it on the green beans for in the To Asia with Love and then used it in the stir fry. And I've had it in my fridge. And we have been really enjoying those flavors, and it was something that we hadn't tried before, and it's something that wasn't expecting everyone to like as much as they did. And so now we've got a little jar of that in the fridge, and Tara had said on the cookbook review episode that making it from scratch also just sends it to the next level. So I think the black bean sauce generally is my sleeper hit.
Yeah, I've got to get a trip over to H Mart. And get some of those black beans. It's just like killing me that I haven't been able to get that done.
Yeah.
All right. So overall, and I agree with you, Betsy, that was like a sleeper ingredient for me too. We had been sleeping on it. Speaking of sleepers.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Overall winner for me, I've made this a couple, maybe three times already, like variations on it, which is the rice noodles with shrimp and coconut lime dressing. I loved this.
Oh, nice.
I loved that coconut lime dressing. I've told many people to make it. I told Several friends, I've been like, make this. Have you made? Some people can't have shrimp and stuff. Like, no, just make it with tofu, because I've made it with tofu before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just so that coconut. It's coconut milk and lime and fish sauce and then cilantro in the rice noodles. Super delicious. Just loved it. Highly recommend. What was your winner, Betsy?
Okay, I'm also doing a rice noodle salad from the rice noodle episode, which if you have not listened to that yet or tried to make things from that episode yet, like, please do.
Get
Summer's the perfect time. We thought that might be kind of a too small of a category to tackle, and it turns out rice noodle salads are – there's an abundance, and they're delicious, and we should all be making more of them is my opinion.
Yeah. Agreed.
So mine was the rice noodle salad with steak from Watsgabi Cooking.
And also good.
Also delicious, right? And I had not tried those brown rice noodles before.
Yes.
And those were so – just that – nutty taste, and they held up in the fridge so well for the next day. And now that I have a grill, I'm going to be grilling steak and putting it over that. And we loved the dressing. We just couldn't stop eating this.
Yeah.
And we had it for lunches, and I was so happy with how it held up for lunches. And it just was like a recipe again that I think we'll use a lot. And so that was my overall winner.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting to the rice noodles. That's the moral of the story. Come again next week. We have a deep dive into pancakes. Pancakes.
Okay. Pancakes. I love this. And you are changing the format up a little bit. Yeah. What are you doing?
Well, we heard some feedback. And what I'd like to do is make sure that we're sharing new recipes in our deep dive. So we're not going to do the three recipes. May not be as in depth, but don't worry. We're going to do a recipe review and some tips. And then also maybe a new recipe, maybe pancake. That we've really loved over the course of, you know, however long it's been. It might be a new one to us, might be an old one. We'll definitely throw those recipes in so you got something new to try.
Okay, that's amazing. Love that. Always learning and growing and changing here on the pod, Kate.
Aren't we?
Yeah, so that's what's for dinner. And also, I should say, we love, love, love to hear from people about what you like, what you don't like. Like, always give us feedback because, you know, we don't want to just like podcast out into the abyss. We love hearing what's working, what's not working. So thank you so much for that. And that's what's for dinner this week. See you next time on The Dinner Sisters. We'll save a spot at the table for you.
If you have some dinner ideas, you can always send us an email, like Betsy said, at dinnersisterspodcast@gmail.com or find us on Facebook or Instagram. We'll take your messages there. And as per usual, if you like what you're hearing, please review and subscribe or find us over on Patreon to support our podcast. That's how people get to know us, and that's how we keep the lights on. Thanks and happy eating.